Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with Allcare Pharmacy. Discover a healthcare team that's always here for you at Allcare Pharmacy, Ireland's largest community pharmacy network.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
So far, it's a fairly long March. We've had plenty of rain, ice and snow for many of us. But next Sunday, the clocks will go forward an hour and we will all be hoping for more spring-like weather to go with our long, brighter evenings. The sights and sounds of spring are in towns and the countryside. We awaken to early morning bird song now and walk among the daffodils in parks or down boreens. And spring will really have sprung when we see those lambs frolicking in the fields. But what is it about this season that we find inspiring and so enjoyable? Well, to tease that out, I'm joined now in the studio by author and writer John Connell and on the line by Joanna Donnelly from Met Air. And you're both very welcome. It's lovely to see you, John, in the studio today. And Joanna, thank you for being with us. Congratulations first, John, to you. Baby Teddy arrived four weeks ago. How's that going for you?
It's a new shift. It's a bit different to lambs and cows. But we're getting there slowly, and he's a lovely little boy.
Sleeping well, or
he was.
You have to say yes, even though it's not true.
No, he's doing okay. So someone said to me, "You sleep when they sleep." So
that sometimes works. Yeah. Now you mentioned the farming. There is this a very busy time of the year as for you?
Yes. Well, look, it's a busy time. Every time is a busy time on a farm. But we've just went through lambing season, and so the lambs are out now. But I'm aware of lots of dairy farmers who'd be doing spring calving. So really intense, busy time getting animals safely into the world, feeding them, protecting them. I suppose it's a lovely time. You know, I'm working on a book at the moment about sheep. And I was just reflecting because even though I worked with sheep for 7 years, I only became a shepherd myself with my own sheep last year. So it was kind of a whole journey I've been on with them. And when you have stake in the game, when it's your own money and your own sheep, it's totally different, you know.
It's a
joyous thing. And seeing them out in the fields, it brings a smile to your heart. There's something so happy about sheep.
And did you keep them in? Were they in for a while?
They come in the winter to lamb, and then when the weather gets better, they come out. And
so did you have that moment? Because I would have seen this with cattle when I was small, when they go out into the field, that joyous moment where they are frolicking.
Yeah, they're lovely. They love it. You know, there's nothing a lamb wants more than to be a lamb. And a sheep wants nothing more than to be a sheep. They're not worried about Heidegger. They're not worried about the next budget. They're worried about getting out into the fields and drinking their mammy's milk and nibbling on maybe a few nuts later on. So it's a lovely time. And, you know, you see, you know, I often watch videos and have watched videos from Northern Europe where the winters are even worse, you know, and the cows can't believe they're getting out, you know. So it's, you know, these animals are sentient creatures, and they know what it is to be locked in for a while, and they know what it is to have freedom.
To be free. Yeah, they certainly do. Joanna, it is the week of the spring equinox, isn't it? And we say that freely, but what does it mean? Explain to us what it means.
Yeah, it's the turning point of the Earth and the turning point of the seasons, really. The Earth is tilted at an axis about 23.5 degrees. Through the poles, and in the winter in the northern hemisphere, which we're just leaving, the North Pole is tilted away from the sun. So the North Pole has been in darkness now, and now we're starting to tilt in the opposite direction as we move around the sun. It takes 365 days to get around, and the tilt for the next half of the year will be tilted in the northern hemisphere towards the sun. So we enter into the spring and summer seasons then before we tilt back again. Or we don't tilt, but you know, the tilt points the other way for the winter seasons, and the southern hemisphere gets the sunshine. And on the equator then, of course, the sun shines evenly all year round. So around the equinoxes, it's the changeover, and we get equal hours of day and night. So there's 12 hours of day and 12 hours of night everywhere on the planet then, just on the spring and the autumn equinoxes.
So does that mean then that the spring equinox marks the true start of spring?
Well, we keep coming back to this.
Oh, yeah, we get in trouble every time.
It really is the how you feel about it. Now, your opening there really gave what I think of as spring. You know, the feeling of rejuvenation, and it's such a good spirit time. But if you count the meteorological conditions. The winter continues out through to the end of February and spring starts, meteorologically speaking, on the 1st of March. But of course, there's nothing like a day. And you said also the spring weather. But sure, in spring in Ireland, we get all the weather. We get the beautiful sunshine, we get the showers, we get the snow, we get the wind, we get the storms, we get everything in spring. So you can get any sort of weather in spring. So you can't really define spring weather in Ireland anyway. Maybe you can in other parts of the world, but in Ireland, it's much too variable. But certainly, astronomically speaking, we're well into spring now. And by the, of course, the old Celtic calendar, we're in the middle of spring.
But you know, we can each decide for ourselves when we feel, John, spring begins. Do you agree, or are you happy to go with the 1st of March?
You know, maybe it's the Celt in me. I always like the 1st of February, but even though it never feels like spring.
Never.
But Celtic spring, maybe the people long ago had a different view on it. But I think Joanne's right, and I think you're right, Claire. It's how you feel about it. I remember one particular St. Patrick's Day when I was a kid, and it was very warm. I remember wearing a t-shirt. So that's a while ago. But
and I remember a St. Patrick's Day, and we were snowed in.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. Snow up the back door, halfway up the back door.
So it's a funny month in Ireland. I was talking to someone and they're going on the Camino in a week's time, and I said, you'll have good weather, you know, like it's different in Spain, you know. But I suppose we're shaped by this weather, and I think because our winters can be so dark, which they are, I think that we start to come alive, really. It's not just the animals, we come alive. And I always notice when people start walking again, you know, and they're out in nature, and they're starting to, I suppose, dust off the cobwebs of maybe an immobile winter. And it's in farming in particular, like you're kind of hunkered down in a slatted shed for a few months, and then all of a sudden you're like, God, there's other places to go to. And it reminds me of, what Thich Nhat Hanh, he was this Buddhist monk, and he said, walk like your feet are kissing the ground. And I just thought, that's a lovely line, because we're just falling back in love with the good stuff again.
Yes.
And
relishing it. You just relish the green grass, the blue sky, the budding leaves, all of that.
I was saying to your researcher today, or before I came up, it's a bit like we've all seen the Banshees of Inisherin now. Unfortunately, the weather in the Banshees of Inisherin is spectacular. It never rains, the weather's good, everybody's just walking around in t-shirts.
Isn't it always like that in the islands?
Like if we had that all the time, sure, we'd be living in paradise.
What marks it though for you? Like, what makes you feel like it's spring? I mean, you mentioned people walking. I would imagine farming is a little bit easier when the weather's better.
Oh God, yeah. So the animals go out, and you breathe a sigh of relief that you've got over another winter. I suppose it's in nature for me, and a little feeling of warmth, you know.
Yes.
That you go out and maybe you're not as rugged up, and you can, you know, I'm wearing a nice cardigan today, and I can survive in that. And it's just
You don't need a coat.
No, you don't need a coat. It's the little things. And I suppose for me, it's like the bird song again, the evening starting to get that little bit brighter for longer.
The
grand stretch in the evening. Yeah, it's those small things.
Yeah.
But they all cumulatively add up to make us feel that the season has changed.
Yes.
I think, sometimes we can have a quick winter and it can come in quickly. So that can be hard.
Mm-hmm.
So.
And Joanna, what about you? Is a meteorologist allowed to have a favourite time of the year or favourite weather?
Well, I do have a favourite weather. I'm outspoken about that. I love the old thunderstorm, but we don't get many of them in Ireland we did actually last night because of our temperate climate. And I know John is talking there about the harsh winter and the farming and all that, but we do have to herald, of course, that Ireland doesn't really get harsh winters. We have a very, very temperate climate here. And actually, the smudging of the seasons here in Ireland, it's very often hard to delineate where they are. And that's why we have this controversy about what is spring and what is autumn, because our climate is so temperate. I remember when I met my husband, I met him abroad, and I met him in the autumn, and on the break in the course that we were on, he said, I'm going home to find my winter trousers. And I thought to myself, winter trousers, what's that? Sure, in Ireland we just have trousers. we don't really feel the change in the seasons quite as much as they do in other parts of the world. And I was in with a school there the other day, and I was talking to the children, and I asked them to look out the window at the green grass, and I said, and what colour is the grass in the winter? Green. What colour is the grass in the spring? Green. What colour is the grass in the summer? Green. that also is not the case in other parts of the world. They don't have that grass that grows practically the whole year round. So we have to herald our temperate climate is something that we really probably take for granted. Yes, it gets a little bit dark in the winter, I grant it. But in the summertime, of course, we've got to look forward to really, really long days. And because we're so far west here in Ireland, we get even longer sunny evenings. In Belmullet, the sun doesn't set until nearly midnight at the height of the summer. So, you know, we've got a lot of benefits here in our western.
Certainly do. We need to remember to count our blessings. John, I want to mention climate change, because we know, as we were reminded again this week, that we're very much in the last chance saloon, aren't we, to address that. As somebody who works with nature, works on the land, are you seeing climate change at first hand?
I suppose, Claire, you know, I was thinking about this on the way up this morning, and this is the great challenge of our time, to address the world that is in flux and change will take all of us. I do see it. You know, it's funny, I was reading a report that said that our rivers, if unaddressed, this is from 2020, would lose 30% of their volume, particularly in the West, because of low natural memories. And of course, we're going to get wetter winters and drier summers. I think we all remember the heat wave we had in 2018, and which, sure, we thought it was wonderful. But that was...
we didn't all.
Yeah, exactly. I'm just going to say that, Joanne, like, there was a drought. And the grass started to burn and die on the farm, on all the farms. And this is, the IPCC report, we've been given a short number of years to try and fix things. And it's scary. And, you know, I was in, it's not just in Ireland. I was in Asturias in northern Spain researching a book during the summer about salmon. And the salmon are gone from those rivers.
Really?
We fished there for a long time, and we caught one fish. And I went to a village, and a man told me that they had caught six fish all season. And the fish have been overfished. Climate change is having an effect. The rivers are getting warmer, and the fish are gone. And that is a great tragedy that has happened silently and unknown to us. And I wrote about it in a column for the paper, for The Independent, that I write for. And, you know, it's so sad. And I became, in a way, it has radicalized me into ecological theology. You know, we talk about seeing God in nature, but ecological theology, which is something Pope Francis talks about a lot, we have to protect the environment. You know, it's not just for man.
It's our duty to do that.
It's our duty. You know, the Bible used to say it was for man's use and benefit. It's not. It's for every other animal in the world that has a right to live and be protected. So this is the challenge. This is our time. We have to act. And I hope that we can get our act together.
And Joanna, you mentioned going into schools and talking to them about the weather and so on. But I'm sure you see, and I'm not suggesting that we're leaving this up to the generation coming behind us, but what do you see in them when it comes to the action they're prepared to take on climate change?
Yeah, well, I mean, the children, I always say to them, you're standing on the shoulders of giants. We're leading you into this. It's partly the generations behind us' fault. It's all our fault, if you want to blame anybody. But we're all driving now towards the same goal. We all want to get to the same place. And that's a world that we can live in. People often say to me, are we destroying the planet? And I say, no, the planet would be grand. We're destroying our habitat. We're not going to be able to live here anymore. The world will be fine once it's rid itself of its parasites. Us. But the children are definitely looking to solutions. I was in with the Science Blast, and the young scientists are here today in Met Erin, in fact, and they are really innovating. They're really thinking things through. They're looking at things from a whole different angle. At the Science Blast, I was talking to young children, that's primary school level, and one of the kids said to me, and the scientists will be able to use this information. And I said, no, you're the scientist. You're going to use this information. And her eyes lit up at the idea that they can drive the future, you know, that they can innovate and they can use their STEM, the science, technology, engineering, maths, those wonderful subjects to make the changes that into the difference into the future. And I think they're energized about it. And I think we all should be. I think we all should be energized about thinking things through differently. And with the kids, I try to say to them, you know, start with yourself, expand through your classroom, expand through your community, expand through your environment, through your county, through your country. And that's how the changes make. When you see your best pal is cycling to school, you think, well, if they can do it, Mom, I don't want to get in the car. I want to go cycle with my best pal.
Well, look, we're looking forward to spring and we're seeing all the signs, some lovely messages from people who are telling us about the signs that they're seeing in their community. But you're also looking forward to your book festival.
I am, Claire. I'll tell you, before we finish on the... I wrote a little poem for spring, so I'll read it first.
Oh, do.
I gave you a poem the last time, so why not?
It's a tradition.
It's a tradition now. So, in our winters, we find our springs. They are a mirror, and we are the reflection in the middle. There is a new feeling in the air. I looked to the east for tools. I looked to the west for guidance. Finally, I looked inside and found me. My body, my psyche united... I was reborn like the daffodil upon the dewy ditch.
John, thank you so much.
Thanks, Claire.
And you know now you've put yourself under pressure. Every time we talk to you,
I'll have to have a poem. Yeah, and I will say that the book festival is on April 21st to 23rd. We have writers coming from all over the world, including Donal Ryan, Sinead Burke, of course she was on the Tommy Tiernan show, and Professor Tim Flannery, a leading expert on climate change and a good friend of David Attenborough's.
So it's granardbooktownfestival.ie. People can go on there and have a look at the events coming up.
Exactly. It's going to be a great weekend.
It certainly sounds like it. John, thank you so much. That's John Connell and Joanna Donnelly. Thank you both. We'll take a break.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.